I write for a site called Crazy for Comic-Con. I write about comic conventions and all things geek and nerd related. And I'm excited to be here on our marketing indie films and web series sponsored by the Geek Fest Film Festival. And we're going to have a great time to be able to talk about not only, you know, the name of the game now is not just creating a great product, but it's also getting it to market and figuring out a way to connect it to the market. And so this panel is going to be great because whether you are creating a film, a web series, maybe you got a great blog, maybe you're just great at doing the Twitters. But whatever it is, we're going to talk all about just how to really make connection. That's really what it's about, is connecting to the tribe. And so we have a great panel. We're waiting for one more, so she's going to join us in a little bit. But hey, Nonstop to Comic-Con guys, why don't you introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about your product.
I'm David Edmondson, and I wrote and directed Nonstop to Comic-Con along with
Randy Van Dyke, also co-wrote and co-directed Nonstop to Comic-Con, who is doing the tour with the Geek Fest Film Fest right now. Yeah.
And tell them, what is Nonstop to Comic-Con? Is that like a vacation package to Comic-Con, or
It sounds like it. It's actually a comedy feature film, a 90-minute narrative film that is basically kind of a road trip about a bunch of geeks trying to get San Diego Comic-Con for the first time. And we see a lot of documentaries out there about Comic-Con culture, but not a whole lot of narrative stories. So we really decided we wanted to do something to kind of show our love for geek culture.
Does it happen in real time where they're in line for Hall H?
No,
it's
only 90.
That would be a really, really long movie.
That'd be like an Andy Warhol film.
Yeah.
Chris,
I'm Chris Gore. I'm that Chris Gore on Twitter and social media. I started a magazine called Film Threat when I was in high school. It was a print magazine. Print was like the internet, but on really thin slices of wood. And people used to read print. They still do in comic books, but for the most part, magazines have migrated to online. So I started Film Threat, and then Film Threat was a website. It's since closed recently, but there are plans to bring it back in some other form. I also used to be on G4 TV on Attack of the Show, and I did a bunch of other hacky TV, and I've been talking about film, pop culture, and media for a long time. I've also written some books. I wrote a book called The Ultimate Film Festival Survival Guide, which is all about getting your movie promoted on the film festival circuit. And I believe it's available on Kindle and also in print, if you can find a used copy. Those are my basic credentials. I also have a social media marketing company, and I basically run Twitter and Facebook accounts for movies, some of which you have heard of. So there you go.
Great. Well, you know, it's amazing how much has changed just in the past, like, 10 years or so. Before social media, there were about 3 or 4 microphones, just like this, and those microphones were radio, television, movies, and only a select group of extremely privileged individuals had a chance to use these microphones, right? And so if you wanted to get whether your film or your series or anything out there, you had to go through one of these 3 or 4 microphones, and that was it. And then now, of course, because of the awesomeness of the internet, let's give the internet a hand. Come on, people. Yeah. The microphones have now spread. Everyone has a microphone in their hand as long as you have one of these little magical devices. And it's amazing how much now, as a content creator, you go from producer, director, actor sometimes, engineer to marketer, communicator, all that sort of stuff over your brand from start to finish. When you guys think about creating a product, do you think about it marketing first? Like when you think about, this could spread virally really well, do you think about that first, or how does that come about?
I wouldn't say you think of it first, just because you really, if you plan like that, you know, you really have to plan to make something you love and are passionate about, and then, you know, maybe try to more viral and stuff like that. With the internet being what it is now, the greatest tool for social media is just turning people into, like, evangelical preachers for you, you know. I can say Nonstop is great, but I need to convince you and you and you, and then you tell all of your friends, and then all of their friends tell their friends, and before you know it, you know, I get the mouths of 1,000 people, and mine's not that big, it's close, but just turning people over to be your mouthpieces, and, you know, if you're going to create something you love, create something that flows organically through you. If you set out to make something you know is going to be commercial, or I'm writing this because I know I can sell it, or, I mean, obviously everyone wants to make money, but you really have to go into this project because it takes so much time and so much effort and so much blood, sweat, and tears to create, you know, a web series, a blog, a movie, that if you're going into it just from a commercial aspect and it's not something you enjoy, it's going to show in the final product and you're going to hate going to work every day. You're going to be like, might as well just be punching a clock at Taco Bell or something.
Taco Bell's pretty awesome, though.
I don't know.
Chris, how about you? Do you create something with the end marketing in mind?
No, I think that's, I agree with you. You have to have a passion for it. You have to love it. You have to really love it. I call it the rule of fuck yeah. And that rule should apply to things in your life when it comes to your work and career and in relationships. Like, do you want to spend the next year and a half of your life working on this movie? Fuck yeah. You know, do you want to go out with this girl? We were having a discussion about, women that, and why we make choices to date. Well, if the answer isn't fuck yeah, then I don't want to pursue a girl I'm kind of into, because that's a waste of both of our time. So I feel like you have to be fuck yeah about those things. There is no question in your brain. And then secondly, you're going to find that audience. You also said something else really good about finding those people that are into what you're doing. And I call that your digital street team. Like, there are street teams, you know, that, like, go if you're at bars or you're in a city area that are promoting stuff. Well, there's digital street teams where they're so into what you're doing, they're promoting it for you. So that's how passionate they are. So it's not really about a market. It's about you're collecting people that have similar passions. And then really it's about physically using the tools. I could sit here and bore you with all the, like, technically how to do it, which is really simple. I think this works with brands really well, but not so much with personalities and people. But it's following people and getting followed back. If you follow someone on Twitter, if I follow 1,000 people in a day on Twitter from my Wayward Nerd account, which Wayward Nerd is one of the sites I work on, which is a site about traveling to Comic Cons, which we should totally do something on your movie. If I follow 1,000 people in a day, I know I'm going to get 20% of those people are going to follow me back. So I'm getting 2. I'm unfollowing the people that don't follow me back and purging followers about once a week, running an algorithm to do that. You can do this manually. It's incredibly time consuming. Or you can use certain software tools that are out there. And you can build a social media following. I worked on this film with Gina Carano, who's an MMA fighter. People know who Gina Carano is, right? Action star. All I did was look up hashtag and keyword MMA, and there are millions of people into MMA, and I just started following those people, running this algorithm, and built up a following of about 50,000 people in about 6 months. So these are things you can do to kind of target in terms of social media marketing.
So let's talk about...
So I just to give you that tip, like, totally steal that and do that yourself.
We'll definitely jump into some Twitter tactics. But maybe talk about the value behind that, Chris. The whole idea of, you know, we live in this era where there's just too many options and not enough time. And so when you have that dilemma, the best option is to, quite honestly, is to ignore, because there's just too much stuff passing in front of our eyes. And so traditional marketing has changed. It's no longer about advertising, because advertising doesn't really create interest. It really would have, our best option is word of mouth. People that are following, people that say, hey, you got to go check out this film, or you got to check out this site. So what do you do, even within, not just the Comic-Con or within the brand you're doing, what do you do to get people to talk about you?
Make 15-second commercials you put on Snapchat. I mean, if you look at Snapchat, some of the most popular things are, you know, brands, some of the biggest brands that do commercials specifically for Snapchat. So I really think you've got to, like, I like to experiment with certain things, and I try things that work and then don't work, and then see what you get. I mean, definitely your likes and favorites and your retweets will give you feedback in terms of, like, what is actually working in terms of your marketing. But then you've got to look at, like, how that translates into sales, how that translates into something that's a transaction. As you said, we're all bombarded, so you really want to create that call to action. And there's a lot of specific things I could get into with that, but all that stuff, you're looking at usually getting a 2% ratio in terms of transactions, you know. So that's a generally accepted marketing figure. So there's so many different ways. There are new ways being created and people in this room that are going to invent a new way. Yeah. There's not one right way. Like, this is the right way to do it. Be on Snapchat. No Twitter. No Facebook. I say try them all and see what you where it's most effective for you.
And that's what's so interesting is that before there were just certain ways to get things done, and now it's not about the perfect way. It's about the way that you can kind of adopt and really be committed to really make it work for you in a sense. So everyone's journey to market is completely different than each other. How about for Nonstop? Like, what was the, as you guys were filming and creating, were you also like marketing, like getting people, letting people see the kind of the behind the scenes of it? Like, what was some of the ways that you started generating interest about your film?
We went on it a little bit backwards. We were, trying to pretend we were a studio picture and trying to lock down as much as we can.
Very tight.
Yeah, so we started our social push a little bit later, but a great way to have fans engage with you is to engage with them. If you want people... Thanks.
Thank you.
Holly will be boned when she comes in. If you want people to talk to you on Twitter, talk to them on Twitter. You know, don't try to just always be the one creating the conversation. You know, go out there and be involved in someone else's conversation, because if all of a sudden someone's like, holy shit, Chris Gore wants to talk to me about, you know, MMA, you know, they're going to be so much more
spammy about MMA.
Yeah. they're going to want to go out of their way to interact with him, and they're going to be all excited, like, oh, look, I got retweeted by Chris Gore. You know, because Randy and I are nobodies. But and so just be social on social media. It sounds ridiculous, but go out there, look for hashtags of people with similar interests to you, and when they say something funny or they do a funny little cat picture of two cats reenacting like Glenn being killed or not being killed, retweet it and tell them how funny it is.
Yeah, the whole reason why people are into social media is because they want to be social, they want to interact. So the more people can feel like they're interacting with somebody, the more they're going to be prone to push your message forward. And I've also found that at conventions like this, if you have a booth on the floor, or even if you're just pounding the pavement, talking to people, passing out your card, in our product, in our case, talking about our movie, passing out some free swag, we get a lot more meaningful followers after a weekend at an event like this than we could running all the Facebook ads in the world. Because sure, we might get a lot of followers that way, but the ones that are meaningful and, like you said, evangelical about spreading the word about our stuff are the ones that we've actually spent some face time with and ones that we've actually got into a seat to show the movie to and that kind of thing.
And that's, I think, what's so interesting about comic conventions is that it creates this opportunity for personal interaction. There's the one thing that you can't change regardless of the technology is that face-to-face relationship. And so to be at a convention and to have an opportunity to have that face-to-face, you have no idea what that person might know someone else, and that sort of has a connection, and there's some sort of something going on. But that like opportunity to have face-to-face interaction can really change everything about your brand. But definitely social media then creates like even sort of more of the gears start spinning as a result of that. So, yeah.
It's an extension, but also the content's gotta be great. I mean, there's got to be different ways to engage in that conversation. Everything you guys said was awesome. And there's also like, you might disagree with something I'm saying, but I'm saying there's not even one right path. I think the path is kind of different based on what it is you're trying to sell. I had a friend recently who became like a millionaire in a weekend, right? He was making apps for like the iPad that are like for editing software, and he created this app called VHS Camcorder. Does anyone have this app? And what it is it basically makes video you shoot on your iPhone look like a crappy VHS from the 80s with even like a little date at the bottom and like the tracking is all messed up. He had 200,000 downloads of his $3.99 app in the first 48 hours, and Snoop Dogg actually made a video of it and posted it on his Instagram. Then Wall Street Journal did a story on him, and he freaked out, actually. He freaked out because he's never like made that much money at one time. It kind of messed with his head. But it was just a social media, and he's got like a little social media account for his company, but it just blew up. And that's the thing is, you could sit here and try to science it and try to like, you know, figure it out or have a strategic plan. That's why when I talk to marketing people at studios and whatnot, they're like, and they've got these, you know, they went to Yale and Harvard, they have these degrees, they're smart people, but it's like, you don't know what's going to blow up. Stupid crap blows up on the internet. You might make up a story that you went to a strip club and there were guns involved and prostitutes and just make up this whole story. Does anyone know what I'm referencing? What was that? What's her name?
Zola.
Zola.
You might make that up and then blow up. I swear to you, before this weekend's out, she will have a movie deal based on a bullshit Twitter story that she told. And that's amazing. So you cannot predict what kinds of things are going to go big, no matter how well planned it is. So I think the lesson there is just try to be unexpected. Try something no one else has. You just don't know what's going to take off. And also talk to other people. Like, I was working on this one project, and Russell Crowe worked with one of the actresses in the project, and I tweeted at Russell Crowe, and he retweeted and tweeted back at me, which was cool. So, because he's got like 4 million followers, so that stuff kind of helps.
I think it really, one another angle to kind of look at it is, because there's so much out there, and if you throw in your brand and if there's nothing to make it distinct for the market, then it won't be noticed. And so it's almost the idea that unless it's, I kind of think of it, unless it's first, unless it's best, or unless it's weird, it won't be noticed, right? Because everything in the middle there is like, it's compared to a million other things, you know? So you kind of have to have something that sort of catches someone's eye, whether it's a phrase, a saying, a gimmick. I don't know, what do you guys think about that?
I think focus is what's important. I think I'd almost rather, just as a guy who's seen like a ton of movies, the worst movie for me is exactly what you described. It's like Milquetoast.
Yeah.
It doesn't offend. It doesn't take any risks. It just kind of stays in the middle. I'd rather see a really, really bad movie like Birdemic that like goes for it in a crappy way. That like, yeah, that is like one of the most awesome bad movies I've ever seen. Than something that just tries to appeal to everyone and makes all that sort of just, blandertainment. I mean, forget it.
Yeah, I mean, from a societal point, we're trained to not offend anybody. We have to be, four quadrants. We have to get everybody in our marketing and stuff like that. But, some movies are geared towards a certain gender or a certain age or something like that. So like we were saying, be weird, try something different. What works for one person might just completely flop for you.
Hook.
Yeah, you can't try something to do the studio system.
Yeah, something just grabs onto people. In our case, having the title with Comic-Con in it, when we're traveling the film festival circuit, people want to see a movie about Comic-Con just based on the title. They'll see our poster or our work, say, hey, that looks cool. They'll see it just based on that. And with a lot of our online marketing, we do it the same way. Whenever we're promoting a screening or an appearance, between the name and the artwork, we try to do something flashy and different that maybe they haven't seen, and that helps a lot. It gets a lot of attention.
Well, the other thing with you guys, you have the advantage of, the people that are in your movie all have social media followings. Mm. So you can leverage all of them, to participate.
Oh, for sure.
So there's a guy, okay, I'm not recommending this filmmaker, but I'm going to say he is one of the worst. I was in a documentary called The Worst, I think it's like the worst horror movie ever made. It's about this guy named Bill Zebub. Remember that name, Bill Zebub. Look up his movies, the trailers for his movies. He made a movie called, his newest movie is called Dick Shark. He made another movie called Jesus Christ Serial Rapist. And he makes these movies that are horribly offensive. He knows he's doing it. They're incredibly weird. You don't need to see anything more than the trailer, but they're just so, I give the guy credit for like, wow, he really just like, it's the, he's not trying to appease anybody. I think my favorite movie he made, it's about a bunch of guys trying to make a crappy horror movie, and it's called Ass Monsters. But what's funny is he really authentically captured horror movie fans, and they just wanted to make this movie, so it's kind of like a movie about making this movie called Ass Monsters, and it's an unintentional comedy,
yeah.
So just seek that out if ever you're feeling the need to be inspired.
I think what the maybe the underlying value that you're speaking of, there's a great marketer, his name is Seth Godin, and he talks about being remarkable, and that word literally meaning something that's worth making a remark about, right? And so creating something, even as ludicrous as those titles are, you're making a remark about it because it's so ludicrous, and you're telling your friends, hey, you got it, as crazy as it is, this guy's making these sort of films. And so there's an element that, what are you doing that's creating something that's worth making a remark about? Because otherwise, if people aren't talking about it, then no one's wanting to see it. What about, before traditional marketing, about radio, getting being in a commercial on TV or a trailer and before a film. Really, when you talk about marketing and communicating communications, are you primarily thinking of social media? Is that the sort of your number one thing, or are you advertising in all still in print or on the radio? Like, what's sort of your primary vehicle of marketing?
We don't have print money. We don't have Warner Brothers money to make that happen. So really, our only microphone is really the internet.
Okay.
You know, to get word out there, internet, word of mouth, that sort of thing, and the traditional film festival environment too, which is incredibly helpful for meeting people and for making connections and that sort of thing. But for getting the word out to the masses, it's not always the best route to go unless you make some deep, meaningful film that wins all the awards. Yeah.
Like our film, it's deep and meaningful.
Nah.
Now people also look at social media and say, oh, you know, it's free online, so therefore it doesn't cost anything. Is that the right assumption to make? We talk about trying to brand a product. Talk about how do you plan and finance social media.
I can explain to you how I do what I do, but it's all about execution. I can tell you it's time consuming. It's time consuming where I know the maximum number of accounts I'm able to juggle personally, where I have to like hire out people that are good at social media, that instinctively know tagging photos and hashtags to use, hashtags not to use, you know, like just know those things. I mean, social media is it really is your friend and your best marketing tool, but I do think it's important to reach out to those influencers, right?
Yeah.
Those influencers on YouTube or Periscope or Vine or Snapchat or people in your social circle and the social circle surrounding the movie. And then kind of, I like to like give the tools to other people to promote it for you. And sometimes like I get retweeted a lot from the Wayward Nerd account, just because I kind of do someone else's job for them. I'll talk about a convention and put all the basics in, a link to buy tickets to the con, the dates, the effective dates, the right hashtag, and a photograph. If you put a piece of media in a tweet or a Facebook post, a piece of media is going to be read twice as more likely than just a regular text-based tweet. So what I try to do is, and you do this really well, Tony, when you promote your panels, except getting the room number right, but I'm saying...
our last panel we were in, I got the room number wrong, and we were posting this out.
But you do this great sort of Brady Bunch-like thing with all the personalities that are on the panel, Geek Wars. It's, of course, incentive for everybody. You tag everybody when you do it. You send out, hey, here's the thing. You've done, oh my God, like I basically need to do nothing except send it out or retweet you, right, which I do. So giving others the tools by which they can promote your movie for you. Like if you guys do little promo cards like Nonstop to Comic-Con, screening at the blah 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 film festival at this time, you could just alter those colors or those things so it feels unique, and then just send out that promotional card. I mean, you can also buy advertising, which Facebook kind of forces you to do. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the way it is now. So
other tactics or ways to, when you talk about reaching out to, like, what does that mean exactly? Like, you mentioned a little bit about you're kind of promoting for them some of their events. What I'm getting at is, do I try to reach out to J.J. Abrams and get him to, like, tweet him all the time, try to get him to retweet?
Well, sometimes you want to look at their feed. Like, if they're a person that actually talks to people, that's someone to target, right? If there's someone that doesn't, they don't interact, they're just sort of push.
Yeah.
So they're pushing out their messaging, but they're not actually interacting. That's probably not a person that's going to be worth your time. But like,
and to that point, if you are the only, if you're just talking about your own brand and you're not interacting, you're not promoting like similar type brands, people are going to make the same judgment
right,
as you.
Right. Yeah. So if you're promoting other things, I feel like you have to kind of do your research. It's that whole thing. Who is the woman who wrote that book called The Art of the Ask? Which is all about, this book is all about how to ask people for something.
Yeah. Amanda Palmer?
That's it. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, so I just started reading that book, and it's great. I mean, that book is all about, like, it's one of the hardest things, you know, the three hardest things to say. I love you, I'm sorry, can you help me, right? When you're asking for someone to help you, you have to ask it in a way that kind of incentivizes them wanting to do that for you. And you guys, especially, I know how hard it is to make an indie movie. I've done it myself. It's difficult. You're constantly asking people to, like, hey, I'm going to give you no money, feed you crap, and you get to do the, you know, and you got to get them engaged in what your end game is. So that whole art of the ask is extremely important. If you don't have that skill, or have someone on your team that has that skill, your odds are not going to be in your favor. I'd love to hear what you guys have to say about that.
I think a lot of it comes down to putting together the right team to begin with. What a lot of productions are doing now, whether they're indie films, web series, anything like that, they're specifically casting internet personalities. So whether you have a popular YouTube channel with a bunch of subscribers, or looking at how many followers you have on Instagram, they will take that into account before casting certain people or getting certain people involved in a project, because they want to build in that end game plan to be able to make sure, and they'll even put it in their contracts, these cast members that they're bringing on, that, all right, you have to do so many tweets, or you have to participate in so many different things on social media to help promote the movie when we're done, that people are becoming way more focused on that now from the beginning. And I think if you plan for it ahead of time, you're going to be well prepared. But if you try to kind of put that together at the end, it's not going to work out so well for you.
Yeah, I also run some social media accounts for some actors and actresses. And the first thing they say to us when they come to be one of our clients is, I didn't get a part because someone had more followers. Like, I thought it was a joke, but it's happened more than once for these named people that, like, you've seen in movies. But so-and-so had 10 million Twitter followers and you only had 50,000. So, you know, you're not worth the investment. It's no longer you're not pretty enough or you're not skinny enough. Now it's you don't have enough Twitter followers.
The other thing is, real simply, is the message for you guys is probably see this movie, right? So you need to come up with 600 different ways to say see Nonstop to Comic-Con.
Right.
So you need to, I actually think it's important to sit there and list out what are the different ways. Well, you can do the promo cards. You can tweet every day and do this. You can create event invites on Facebook. You can also, like, have members of your cast watch the trailer for your movie and, like, flip over a couch or cry while she's sitting in bed looking at the trailer for her movie. That was a reference to Star Wars, The Force Awakens, that's coming out December 18th, only in theaters. I'm sort of saying...
Look how evangelical we are about Star Wars.
Right, you know? Yeah. But, like...
They don't even pay us.
Yeah, but just like, I mean, all the messaging that has come from the brilliant marketing campaign for that movie is the same message: buy stuff and buy tickets to see this movie. And they've come up with so many different ways to participate, and I think that's a challenge for you guys as indie filmmakers. Like, how many different ways are we going to say the same thing? And you do have to get creative with it, you know, whether it's using different social media platforms or even different ways to just say the same thing.
Yeah, I think, and besides just getting the message out, it also is about figuring out who your tribe is. You can't speak to everyone. Everyone can have a million followers, but you can get 1,000 followers, and those 1,000 followers, like you said, they're evangelistic for you. Then they'll do the work of the most powerful agency that's out there. You know, so I think it's like trying to figure out who your tribe is.
Yeah, and you have to be consistent.
Yeah.
Like, anyone can go and do Twitter for like 4 days and then get burnt out and then take off a month and then come back and then everything you did those 4 days is gone. It is a grind. You know, some people make it into a fun game. Like, some people like to extend their ETT, their effective toilet time. And they like to sit down and they go over their Twitter and they go to hashtags and they follow and they unfollow. But you can't just do it one day and expect miracle results. If you do it one day, then not 4 days, then 3 days, then not 2 days. It's really an everyday thing. Yeah.
That's key, yeah. Consistency. I say that I believe you need to tweet 4 to 6 times a day between, like, the hours of, like, well, consider West Coast, 9 a.m. to, like, 1 p.m., and you got to do it every day. And the follow-back thing, you've got to do that every day, whether you're using software, whatever. It's got to be a consistent daily thing, and then you will see consistent growth. You'll see that the numbers will just be like this. Now, translating that into active is just finding different ways to engage the followers, whether it's talking to them, retweeting them. I do a lot of, from these official accounts, retweeting people that are super enthusiastic. Like this movie Burnt with Bradley Cooper, I'm working on a Twitter account, right? If someone says something really nice about Bradley Cooper or the movie, if they say something positive and it's appropriate, they'll get retweeted. If they ask a question that is polite and not like, you know, can I have Bradley Cooper's phone number? You know, it'll be responded to. It's like customer service in a way. And you guys got, I mean, you already know, you have to do that. My process, I like to sit down and like write. a month's worth of tweets in like a day, and then kind of schedule them out and figure that out. And also rotate the ones, like if I see one really hits big, I'll rotate that one. But then it's really also about like creating a different, you can create different URLs so you can see like what ones are more effective if you're selling your movie on iTunes, which I don't know if you're at that stage.
Not yet. No.
But you will get to that stage where it's like, hey, available on all digital platforms, it's on VOD, it's going to be on Vudu, it's going to be on, you know, everything for purchase. VHX, I don't know what route you're going to go. Yeah, like those things. I don't know. I think if I saw Nonstop's Comic-Con on iTunes and it was like $9.99, I think I would just like buy it, right?
Got a fun cover.
Fun cover. It's about something I'm into.
Exactly.
I saw the tweets about it.
By the way, you never got me Cooper's phone number. I tweeted to you, never Bradley Cooper number.
Oh, Bradley Cooper. Oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't get his phone number. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah.
You're still avoiding me. So, you're speaking specific about Twitter. How about some other social media streams? Where do you see some of the advantages, some of the obstacles when it comes to promoting your work?
I mean, Facebook's the kind of the king, just because everyone and their mother has it. My grandmother's on Facebook, you know, my mom's on Facebook, everyone's on Facebook. But like Chris was saying earlier, Facebook, you know, a year or so ago changed their algorithm, and now if you're not paying, you're really getting buried in people's feeds. Yeah. They really want you to pay. They really want you to that boost post.
Yeah.
And even then, you know, you'll get mixed results, you know, depending on if you use Chrome, there's something called Power Editor for Facebook, and it'll allow you to customize your demographics a little bit better for a Facebook ad. So, I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword. Everyone has Facebook, but Facebook's not making it easy for not Batman v Superman.
Do you recommend having multiple streams covering all the different types of platforms, or maybe championing having them, but championing one, really focusing on one?
I think it comes down to who you're targeting to, you know. For our movie, Twitter seems to be the more engaged crowd, you know, the age group and the demographic that we're going for are mostly Twitter-based. If we had a cooking show, we'd be on Facebook, you know, because they're probably Pinterest, you know.
A fashion line, probably, you know, Instagram is great for fashion.
Yeah, so it's all about just knowing your audience. You should have all of them. I mean, you should have all of them and be well-versed in all of them, but it all comes down to time. If you have enough people to manage all of them 24/7, that's the perfect world. But if you're like us and you only have time to really hammer down one, you know, you're going to pick your battle.
Let's take some questions from our crowd. We can keep talking and blabbing, but if anyone has a specific question about marketing, maybe it's a challenge, maybe it's an opportunity, maybe it's a tactic you're trying, maybe something specific. Anyone got anything they want to ask? Yes, way in the back.
I think that Twitter's more, you know, young and conversational. You know, people are used to seeing a lot of information blast by them. With Twitter, with Facebook, you typically, not everyone posts on Facebook every single day, so your Facebook feed is a little bit slower. It's a little more, you can really only post a couple times on Facebook if you're trying to promote something. You know, some people will say like one in the morning, one in the afternoon, one in the evening. But with Twitter, you can do a lot more. You can post a lot more. You can be a lot more active. Obviously, Instagram is you know, more visual learners, like Randy here. I would not have described the demographics, but they're all just a little bit different. Pinterest is primarily female.
And Facebook, you're going to have more of a wider audience, but like you said, there's not a lot of conversation going on. I mean, you're commenting on those comments a little bit, that's going on, but really in Twitter land, you really can... you got to try to talk to everyone. You try to talk to people that are listening. And then once you find those people, you can have longer and make more connections.
Yeah, and just to piggyback again on what Chris said, which is the theme of today, Chris says something smart, and I say, yeah, let me glom on to that. when he was talking about the following, unfollowing, some of the apps that let you do it, you can program like their difference between their followers and who they're following. So if someone is following, you know, 8 people but has 1,000 followers, they're probably not going to follow you back because, you know, there's someone who's just kind of hoarding the followers. But if it's someone who's following 35,000 people and follows 36,000 people, that person's probably going to follow you back if you follow them. You know, maybe throw them a retweet, a favorite, a follow, and they're going to follow you back.
And don't buy followers. You can do that now.
You get like 10,000 for like $2.
I know. And
on Fiverr.com.
Yeah.
They might last 2 weeks.
Good luck.
But anyone who has any sort of awareness of the medium of Twitter can sniff that out, and you won't get followed as a result of that. So you have to legitimately earn your followers. Just way to back.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a bot, you don't want to follow them, or if it's someone like Chris was saying that hasn't tweeted in like 6 months, or still has an egg for a picture, or you know, is someone who's just every post is I lost 46 pounds eating ho hos and taking this pill, you know, that's not someone you want to follow.
Yeah, I think definitely those people who are actively supporting other type of brand and product and engaging and talking, and clearly they're an individual who is reinvesting in the conversation of Twitter. So super great people to follow, because they're not just there to bang out their own stuff, or they're not just there to listen, but they're actually like contributing to the conversation.
Yeah, if you're trying to fund a web series or something through Kickstarter, just look at the hashtag Kickstarter. You'll see everyone who is, you know, usually when they fund something, they'll send out a tweet like, I just funded blank project, and there's usually a hashtag Kickstarter. Or if someone else has a project in their mind, maybe throw out a retweet for their project, and they'll throw out one for your project. You know, just be friends.
You know, one of the most...
Or just have Nathan Fillion in your web series. That problem solved.
Yeah. Right. One of the things that I did early on when I was tweeting, which I think really served well, was... I wasn't necessarily going after the J.J. Abrams out there. I was just trying to find someone who had like maybe 1,000 more followers than myself. And I started a conversation with them, promote their work. Soon they're following me back. And then I just try to reach for people who have a little bit more influence than myself to be able to start the following relationship, and then they're retweeting my stuff. I wasn't trying to go for the brass ring of Twitter, but I was going for other people of influence that had a little more influence than myself, and like made that connection, and they were helping to promote my work, and then it sort of like grew and spread after that. So.
It's wrong. I just go straight for Bieber.
Yeah.
Straight for the top.
Thank you, Bieber. More questions? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm trying to figure out how to record this. How effective is it, if you've ever had this personally, to sort of build up your personal social media and then have that word of mouth go to building up your brand, rather than start pushing it and promoting your brand first? Because I've noticed that when I did start to push my brand a little, it got a little traction, but I've noticed that I'm not a personality on social media whatsoever, but I've noticed that since I've done interviews with some big names or mediocre names, but I've noticed that my personal social media has gone somewhat of a following, but I'm wondering how and when to go.
I know what you're asking. So it's really simple. You need to separate it.
Okay.
You've got to be focused. Like a friend of mine that I worked with on Attack of the Show, a producer on that show, had a Twitter account called The Goddamn Batman. I don't know if you remember Goddamn Batman. He would tweet once a day at noon, and that was it. And it was always funny jokes related to the life of Batman. Focus is key. I'm a big Batman fan, so I'm that Chris Gore on social media, and I try to tweet once a day something that's either funny or an insight about something. I do like to live tweet presidential debates because I find them hilarious. And then I also will tweet my comings and goings, if I'm going to be at a con or what I'm doing. I have a completely separate account called Bat Chris Gore. Bat Chris Gore only tweets about Batman. That's it. It's only Batman tweets. I have another Twitter account called Dr. Hans Zarkov. And it's Dr. Hans Zarkov from Flash Gordon, and he only tweets when there's a natural disaster, and he always blames Ming the Merciless. So, and then I have another friend, and she's a comedian, right? Now, she'll tweet things that are funny, but then she also tweets pictures of her nieces and nephews, baby pictures. And then she tweets, like, stuff that she's doing, and it's this, and it's unfocused. That doesn't work. If your personal is about your personal life, keep that your separate thing. And you have this, whatever the other thing is, the brand, the business, the focus. I mean, there are Twitter accounts that I've created just for fun, just to fuck around, just because I don't know what I'm going to use them for. I have a Twitter account called Sports or Sex.
All I do is I watch sporting events and I tweet things that sports announcers say. And that's all. And so I'll tweet like Joe Buck says, he got full penetration right up the middle. Or there are about 10 guys in there. Or, you know what I mean? It's all sports announcing is sexual innuendo. It's all men playing with their balls. So I think what you need to do is, so, and I only do, like, I'll definitely do, like, World Series, and I'll do the Super Bowl, and I'll do, and then what I'll do is, here's my trick, which comes back to what you're asking. I retweet myself. So I'll take the Hans Zarkov, and if it's something that's really good, like a really good natural disaster, I'll retweet myself. And I know Edgar Wright actually follows the Hans Zarkov, because he's a big fan of Flash Gordon. So at one point, I started live tweeting the movie, but from Hans Zarkov's point of view, he's kind of an, like, what kind of asshole wears a t-shirt with his name on it, you know? Reference to Flash Gordon. So, and I'll retweet back Chris Gore. If it's something really like the new Batman v Superman trailer comes out, I'll, from the That Chris Gore account, retweet myself from back Chris Gore. And you know, you're seeing how it works, right? So it's all about focus. Their account is about nonstop to Comic-Con. It's playing at this convention. Here's the trailer. Here's more information about the movie. Variances on that message. You're not tweeting about what you ate. You're not tweeting about something personally that happened to you. You're not tweeting, like, angrily at United Airlines because your flight is late, because that's off message. Don't do that. Save that for your personal, if that's what you use your personal for. You have to know why you're using this Twitter account. Wayward Nerd, real simply, tweet 4 times a day, and it's always stuff that's happening related to cons, and we live tweet from cons. Yep. That's it. Think focus. You can have 35 Twitter accounts on your phone like I do, which might drive you crazy, but I know what each one has a purpose. Each one has like a mission statement and a point of view, and I've captured audience. All of those have their own varied audiences, right? So figure out like your personal, you might have 3 or 4. You might have one that's just about, it's just about Chris Pratt. It's just about what Chris Pratt is doing. It's just about, I don't know what it is, but find that interest, and you'll be amazed how a Twitter account will blow up because it is focused. Like that goddamn Batman got up to like 250,000-300,000 followers. I remember when those guys were doing it. And it got them meetings. It got them actually meetings with agents because the jokes were so fun. So focus, focus, focus. Retweet yourself.
Because you want to be able to deliver what you promise. And people are following you for a certain reason, and maybe now are talking about your enchiladas for that day. And like, hey, why am I following? Because he was promising me this, and he's giving me that.
Right, and I feel like if they remade the movie Fight Club today, they would have this line in the movie. It's, you are not your brand, right? Here's you, and here's the brand of projects that you're involved in. You got to kind of keep those things separate, you know what I mean? Like, I do separate, like, here's my personal, right? And then here's entities and things I'm involved with, film projects, you know, something like Wayward Nerd, Dr. Hans Zarkov for fun or sports or sex. All of those have completely different purposes. So, and you can spin off and have multiple brands.
We have only time for last 1 or 2 questions. Go ahead. Yeah.
So how do you see the way you market and the way your marketing is working change based on the stage of your production? Okay, I have an idea, I'm going to start marketing that, or I'm in the middle of it, I'm going to show it behind the scenes, or you have the finished product and trying to advertise that. How do you see all that stuff?
That's a great question. I think it's really important before a movie is commercially released to not show behind the scenes. I think we get too much into it. Like, I'm a huge Walking Dead fan, but I never watched that show Talking Dead because it breaks the reality. I've watched like this incredibly emotional moment with Rick and Carol and Daryl
last week,
and then yeah, exactly. I don't want to get into it. I couldn't sleep that night. I was devastated. But like then the reality's broken because now we just see them sitting there in their normal clothes and with a different haircut and whatever. It breaks the reality. I don't think you should ever do anything behind the scenes until after something's commercially released.
But there's
so there
also
are definitely stages. There's I mean, and you see it with like major studio releases, right? They do this. There's the you know, teaser trailer, then there's a sort of teaser trailer, then there's the full trailer, then there's the teaser poster, then the full one. You gotta think like that, and then all the behind the scenes stuff will come eventually. It's all scheduled and in stages, and you guys are in the middle of that process right now, because you're not yet commercially available to see it.
Right.
So
I think,
you guys can do this.
Yeah, behind the scenes, little featurettes, that kind of thing, is really good to put out the same time that you actually release your film or your web series, because it's a nice companion piece. It'll go well together, and maybe somebody will come across that's completely free to watch, and then it'll steer them towards your project. That might be, if it's a feature film, something to pay to watch, or, you know, maybe just subscribe to your channel for your web series, something like that. And kind of going a little further back, it's kind of the Lucas versus Abrams approach to Star Wars. Now, when Lucas did the prequels, he had a webcam up, so at any point in time, you could watch a live stream of what they were shooting against the green screen. Everything about that was completely transparent.
That turned out all right.
And then the J.J. Abrams approach is, we know so incredibly little about this movie that's coming out in less than 2 months that it's crazy, because they're so tight-lipped, and I think more people are talking about it because there's not much information about it. Granted, our films aren't going to be Star Wars. They're not going to be quite at that level, but I think there's some wisdom to keeping a little bit held back, because if you bombard people with too much material, it's gonna seem kind of old. It will have faded out of their memory. Maybe they will have seen this neat behind-the-scenes thing that you put together 6 months before your project is done and out to the public, but they will have forgotten about it after watching that 6 months down the road.
Yeah, and if you start to overexpose yourself, Marvel's kind of created this market to where we don't care about what's current, we care about what's next. And so take Age of Ultron. Age of Ultron, we saw 39 minutes of footage before the movie came out when all the clips and the trailers were put together.
Really?
Yeah, someone counted all up, it was 39 minutes. And so after that, they announced Civil War is coming out before Age of Ultron, so now all we care about is Civil War, and Age of Ultron isn't even out yet. And so we need to, especially in the indie scene, we need to make sure that we're marketing what we're making, because we can't afford to market for what we're making next. You know, so I was very happy with how Disney's been marketing Star Wars, because they're teasing us. We're already going to see the movie. They're making us want to see it more. Tour with Marvel or with some of their live action things like John Carter or Tron Legacy or something like that. They just jammed everything down our throats so much, so fast. And I think that we still want to go to the movies and be surprised. We don't want to know everything when we go to the movies. And when you start getting, like Chris was saying, you got Instagram trailers for the teaser trailer, for the commercial that's going to be on E.T., that's going to have, is E.T. still a thing?
A Monday Night Football.
Yeah, Monday Night Football. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they release all these things for like teasers, and it's just a commercial for a commercial for a movie. It's just weird.
To directly also address your question, kind of compartmentalize. Like when you are doing pre-production, when you're trying to either gather followers or gather people for crowdfunding your film or your project, create something special for that, whether it is a proof of concept or something more than just your standard Kickstarter or Indiegogo video. Create something specifically for that and have that just be all they get to see. And then as you're going, you know, have something very specific, compartmentalized. This is all you get to see of in progress, just so you don't, because you're going to be tempted to flood everything out there just because to keep people engaged, but it's not necessarily the best way to go.
We have time for one more question, then we're done. Yeah, go ahead. Last question.
I have a question about, like, specifically indie film. When you focus on just that film, when that film is over, you lose all those followers. How do you get it so that when you do the next project, you can get all of those followers to go to the next project?
Make a sequel. And then you just use the same Twitter account. That's what the studios do. There's a Star Wars Twitter account. Transformers has one Twitter account. That works with brands and franchises. When it comes, I hear what you're saying. You have to reinvent it, because also every indie movie is going to be unique anyways. This indie movie has this type of audience. This indie movie is going to have a different audience. You're going to have to rebuild. You might consider doing a production company Twitter, but I can't even recall anything other than Bad Robot in terms of a production company that has any near an interesting following. And Bad Robot's only interesting because they actually do tweet out like teaser pictures and interesting stuff. So you could do a Twitter account for your production company and retweet yourself from the different specific movies. But you have to rebuild. I mean, that's just sort of that's part of the process, I think.
Yeah, probably because you're not always going to make the same genre.
Right.
We may not always make geek-related films. We may try to do something horror-related or something completely different. And we wouldn't necessarily be drawing upon the same followers, the same genre. But if you remain active on the account for that film, that even though it's already out, maybe been out for a couple of years, if you remain somewhat active on that and keep engaged with your followers, they'll still be paying attention to you when it's time to promote the next one. And you can do that from that page. You say, hey, you liked this movie, check out this other movie. That
uh-huh. That's exactly right.
Let's do this. We have to wrap it up. Tell us more information about Nonstop, where to find it, Twitter account, all that good stuff.
The Twitter account is at NS2CC for Nonstop to Comic-Con.
That's a number two.
Or you can just go to nonstoptocomiccon.com, and that'll have all the information for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that'll also link to all of our social media if you go to our website or through our Twitter. And you can see all the links for our upcoming screenings at film festivals. Right now we're doing festivals exclusively.
And I'm personally on Twitter. I'm at that Chris Gore.
Don't list all 35.
I'm not going to list the 35, but I'll list two more. Wayward Nerd, which I think people would be interested in here, being involved in the con world, at Wayward Nerd. And the other Twitter account I have is for my business. It's called at SoMeUnlimited. SoMeUnlimited stands for Social Media Unlimited. I tweet out one piece of social media advice daily. So it's links to articles and information. So SoMeUnlimited, look that up, and you can follow the Facebook or the Twitter and get free advice, because for my services, I'm kind of pricey. So, but I want to give the information out because I feel like you should be able to do it yourself.
And follow me at Crazy the Number 4 Comic Con if you love comic conventions, which I'm guessing you might. all things related to comic conventions. All right, thank you for coming out.
Thank you, guys. Great questions. Thanks, Tony. Thanks.